Welcome to another podcast at www.BibleTruthOnline.com. We're sitting again with Pat and Wayne and me, John, and we're going to discuss today another one of our papers, which is titled Go and Sin No More. And we started this paper out with a Bible verse from John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. I'll just quickly read through that, because that is a good story in the Bible where we get the information from our paper. And it starts off with verse 3, chapter 8. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And we start off with that verse, of course, because it ends with the title of our paper. And just to wrap up, I mean, here's a woman that's caught in adultery and is brought to Jesus. This crowd of Jews tells Jesus that Moses commanded that a woman caught in adultery should be stoned to death, which is the law. And they ask Jesus, what is the right thing to do? Jesus says, go ahead, but let the person without sin throw the first stone. And Jesus stoops down to the ground, begins to draw on the dirt with his finger. One by one, the crowd, oldest to youngest, came and dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus says to the woman, where are your accusers? Is there not one person left to accuse you? The woman answers, no. And Jesus says, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. Pat, what do you think about this this story? Just thoughts right off the top of your head.
Well, if you take any single person and they sin, and they get caught, and they now have to come to face whatever judgment is going to be upon them, death, okay, that's what's got to take place. The law commands it, you go to do it, but who's justified to meet that payment?
Right.
Okay, none of these people out here in the world are justified to meet that payment. The only one who can meet that, who can take that payment, is someone who is not guilty.
Right.
And the only person left there is Jesus. So it's left up to him.
So what I see in this story, too, is you have a woman that's been caught in adultery, is guilty of a sin, and it seems like this sin of adultery among these Jews is horrible. It's worse than maybe stealing, or it's worse than dishonoring your mother and your father. And their law says to put her to death. But yet, Jesus replies to him, if you are without sin, cast a stone at her. And what I'm getting off of that is that they're guilty too. They're guilty of sin. How can they judge this woman who's an adulteress when they themselves are guilty? And isn't that, do you see that point in there?
Yeah, there's another part about it being the Jews, too.
Right, right.
The difference between what a Jew is and what a Gentile is,
right,
is the Jews pride themselves that when they went into captivity, they didn't intermarry. What a Gentile is the northern tribes who did intermarry when they were in their captivity. When they come back, they get that dirty, nasty name of Sumerians. Okay? But those are just the northern tribes. Okay? The Jews are the ones who go, we didn't commit adultery. That's why they're more against adultery, because their Jewish heritage tells them they didn't do it.
So basically what you're saying is, Jews were chosen, you have Moses and the prophets, and they remain intact as a race and a religion?
Yeah. And the funny part is, like you just said, Moses. Moses is a Gentile. He intermarries.
Huh.
You go back and look at him. He intermarries.
Right.
Okay? But he's the law. You get back in there, and you got to remember that in Moses' time, Jews and Gentiles, or the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, are all one kingdom at that point.
Got it.
It's coming forward that the captivities take place. We've only had the captivity of Egypt, all as a group.
Right.
There's going to come two more captivities, one for the Jews, one for the Gentiles, one for the Northern tribe, one for the Southern tribe, and that's where this whole story starts to break down. Everybody else in the world must be wrong, except for the Jews, because the Jews didn't intermarry.
Right.
They didn't commit adultery. They do.
Right.
But because they didn't intermarry, because they kept one part of the law, they think they kept all the law.
Going back to that Bible story here, though, what do you think why Jesus tells these people, if you're without sin, cast the first stone? What's the meaning behind that?
Well, it's just showing them that you say you haven't committed adultery, you've broken the law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
So, are you God? Are you perfect? No.
Okay.
So, I didn't commit the sin of coveting my neighbor's car.
Right.
Okay? I've killed people. I've committed adultery. I've done this. But I've never committed. I've never wanted that other guy's car. I never liked green cars.
Right.
Okay? It's stupid.
Right.
You commit one. You break one of the laws, you end up breaking them all. If you take a really close look at one, we did this in the last podcast, you break one law, it's amazing how it works this way all the way around that you've actually broken all of the laws.
Got it. So, in the other piece in this verse too is what Jesus says to the lady. He does not condemn her, and then he says, go and sin no more.
That's the money question.
Right.
That's why we wrote the paper.
Right.
If a person sins and he says, I'm sorry, okay, and he comes to Jesus, now he is never allowed to have another sin again. Boy, nobody here makes that. Everybody sins. Everybody comes to Jesus. Everybody sins again, and it goes on. So what's the real story?
Right.
The real story is Jesus at that point forgives her for her sins, past, present, and future.
Right.
Her trust in him is her point of being reborn again.
Right.
She's reborn by spirit, and that spirit will walk through the world and never sin again.
Right.
The body, for that sin that it has done, the body's going to die. Just like every other body that has sinned, which is everyone, it's going to die.
Right.
But she's not going to sin anymore because now she has a spirit, and the spirit doesn't covet.
Right.
It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. It
right.
doesn't break the laws.
Right.
It's working off of a spiritual principle and not a body dies principle.
Right. So, taking that into our lives, if we're able to have enough heart and honesty to admit that we're sinners, that's not negative. I mean, it has a negative connotation for some people. Why do I have to admit this? But it is a crucial step to take.
Well, before you admit it, just realize the fact that you're going to die.
Right.
And what caused you to die is the fact that you're a sinner. See, that's the other point that it just totally drives me nuts. If you don't sin, you're not going to die.
Right.
Okay? I just don't see that many people running around.
Right. You mean that have never died?
Yeah.
Right.
There just aren't very many of them around.
Right. So we get to the point of realizing we're sinners and we repent, right?
You know, one more thing before we go there, though. Why are we a sinner? Okay. Why are we connected into this line of sin?
Okay.
I told you I just had this talk with Jehovah Witnesses.
Right.
And they were telling me how the world never ends.
Okay.
Well, I thought it through and stuff like that, so I got a little comment to make on that.
Okay.
Adam comes from the earth.
Right.
So what is the earth, or what is Adam, but earth?
Okay.
Okay? Eve comes from Adam.
Right.
What is Eve, but Adam?
Okay.
When Eve sinned, didn't Adam sin? For what is Eve but Adam?
Right.
And because Adam sinned, did the earth sin?
Right.
What is Adam but the earth?
Okay.
Okay? Now we all come from Adam and Eve.
Right.
It's the same line over and over again.
Right.
Each one of those sins has already connected you all the way down. Mankind lost the ability to be perfect right there.
Okay.
Okay? It will never be perfect again.
Right.
You're holding a rock in your pocket that's keeping you from jumping across the cavern.
Right.
Okay? You're not going to make it. That's unfair. God, it's just so unfair.
Right.
It is what it is. And God stops right there and goes, I have another plan. It's right. It's unfair for you today to be saddled with that sin, but don't worry about it. I have another way.
Okay.
The way is His Son.
Right.
Okay? This story is telling you the other way.
Right.
It's bringing you to that point. Even if you sin yourself here, this story is showing you that way. You can argue with the way, but you're still dying. Okay? It wasn't fair for Adam. It wasn't fair for what my father did. It wasn't fair that I did. Maybe my sin really wasn't a sin. You can do what you want. You're still dying. Any situation you go, that wasn't a sin. But go back deep in your mind. Are you going to die?
Right.
Okay? If you don't think you're going to die, then maybe you have a chance you didn't sin. But if you're honest with yourself, you know you're going to die. You know you sinned.
Right.
Okay? It's just that simple. All these other little political games that go on, or religious games, or churchianity games,
right.
That's all they are, is games. Right. They're not looking at the truth of the matter.
So why doesn't Jesus, let me go back to that and I'll retouch on that point that I was getting to, but why doesn't Jesus condemn her?
Because she's looking to Him instead of the crowd.
Right.
She's sitting there looking at Him, and by looking at Him, she's in the beginning stages of coming to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is that kinsman redeemer.
Right.
He is that person who stepped up and showed in the law that they weren't justified to do it, and shortly in the future is going to come and pay the price for that sin.
Right.
Okay? He forgives that sin easily because He's about to pay the price.
Right.
Okay? Those other people can't pay the price.
Right.
Anybody born with a father cannot pay that price.
Yeah. And so, go and sin no more. That statement is pretty powerful, and it could be worded in different ways. I mean, it says what it says, and there, I don't know any other translations except to come out with that exact statement: "Go and sin no more." How can this woman, who's imperfect, who's obviously an adulteress, who's not been condemned, not sin anymore?
Jesus says that if you're going, in order to get to heaven, you have to be reborn. Mm-hmm. Okay? In order to be reborn, you have to die.
Right.
That's what the baptism is. You go into the water just like you went into the flood, and you die.
Right.
Those people coming across the flood were symbolizing this new birth.
Right.
Okay? Because Jesus goes on to say, you must worship God in spirit, for that is what He is. Okay? It's that Holy Spirit coming into you is what's going to carry on and end up going to heaven.
Okay.
There's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit.
Right.
The body and soul will sin and drive it to hell.
Right.
Okay? The body's going to die no matter what you do.
Right.
Okay? You have no choice. This is a question as to where the soul is going.
Right.
If the soul unites itself with the body, it's going to die and go to hell.
Right.
If the soul unites itself with the spirit, it's going to go to heaven.
I got you. Why? So what basically we're saying is, you admit you're a sinner, you come to Christ, you're going to still sin in the body, but you're reborn in the spirit, which isn't capable of sinning. And right before we get to that point, why do people have such a problem with that statement? Because I hear this, like, you can't think of it like that. You will always be a sinner, which is true as long as your mind, you realize, yes, your body will continually sin.
And the body's going to die.
But why is it hard for people to grasp that being born again, if they're truly in the Holy Spirit, they cannot sin anymore? It's like people get defensive and say, wait a minute, you're thinking the wrong way, because it sounds like you think you have a license to go do whatever you want. I mean, I don't understand why people think that.
Well, it depends on which way you're doing it.
Okay.
The body doesn't have a license to go and do whatever it wants. Okay?
Right.
The body that goes ahead, the saved soul,
right,
whose body goes ahead and sins, will pay the price for those sins in the body.
Dying.
What doesn't pay the price is the soul. The soul that is united with the spirit goes up.
Right.
But the body of the soul that has the spirit is still going to pay the price.
Yeah.
You litter, they're going to find you.
Right.
You kill, they're going to kill you.
Right.
What's paying the price? The body.
Right.
Everybody's trying to perfect the body. The body dies.
Right.
The old, Paul says, the old man is dead, and I'm killing him every day.
Yeah.
Paul's going to the point where he's trying to kill the body as well.
Right.
Okay? You should try to control yourself. You're trying to control that which is corrupt,
right,
that which is going to die, and it's never, ever going to be anything but a dying vessel. It's not a question of body, it's
yeah,
a question of soul.
Right.
Soul and body, you're going to hell.
Right.
Soul and spirit, you're going to heaven.
And I think that's clearly stated, but I want to reiterate what we're saying, because I'm telling you, it's a strong statement out there that people make. We are not saying that you have a license to go do whatever you want. But what I hear in another set of words is that your body is not perfect, and you will still sin. But now through baptism, through faith in Jesus, you've been reborn into the Holy Spirit, reborn into the Holy Spirit, right? That there's a separation point. Your soul is now with the Holy Spirit. Your continually sinning body is still on this earth waiting to die, right?
And collecting more sins.
Right. And I guess what I'm trying to say simply is, how it's very hard to become the in faith. I've still sinned ever since I've been a Christian. But I'm not thinking I'm not thinking about committing murder. I'm not thinking about, oh, now that I'm a Christian, I get to go steal because I'll be forgiven. I don't have these thoughts running through my head, even though I hear out there, and this is, I'm not going to name names, but other people who claim to be Christians say, I don't like your statement about this go and sin no more, because it sounds like just because you're now calling yourself a Christian, and that your sins are forgiven and your soul's going to heaven, you can go do these other things and it won't bother you. And it goes as far as to say, you can't ignore this confession of sins doctrine that's out there. And and we're not saying anything like that.
There's a couple of things. There are a couple other statements there. Paul goes, all things are lawful.
Okay.
Okay. Killing is lawful. Abortion is lawful.
What do you mean?
Adultery is lawful, because he said all things are lawful. Okay? No matter what the sin is, if the soul is walking with the Spirit, it's going to have no effect on him. However, that same soul that is doing those things sounds to me more like they're walking with the body.
Right.
And therefore are in danger.
Right, because, I mean...
We have this conversation with the last podcast of walking with.
Right.
Who are you walking with?
Right.
Yes, the old man will rear his head and you'll steal that sucker from your sister again.
Right.
Somewhere down the road. They'll just be sitting there looking at you.
Right.
Okay, when you stole the sucker, are you walking in the body or are you walking in the spirit?
Right. Sounds like you're walking in the... in the body.
Right, the spirit wouldn't care about that sucker.
Right, right. Hey, I mean, I don't have, in my younger days, you know, I was a little crazy and used to go out there and think that, you know, everything's fine, I'm not paying any repercussions for my actions, even though that ended when I became an adult, right? I don't have these thoughts running through my head walking with Jesus. There's nothing further than the truth for me to think that, because I'm a Christian now, I can't sin because go and sin no more. Now I can go and steal and get away with it. So what if I go to jail for a little while? I'm still forgiven. I don't have those thoughts running through my head. Anything could be further from the truth.
Because you start to realize, the more you walk with the Spirit, you realize the body is like your disreputable enemy.
Right.
Anything the body does, it's like, oh my God, it's so ugly. When's the last time your spirit let you down?
Right.
When's the last time your body let you down?
Right.
Okay, your body let you... I crack up. You have to turn around and confess your sins. You don't even know what your sins are.
Right.
People go, you should do a confession once a year.
Right.
My God, it'd take you more than a year to list what you've done. I didn't sin yesterday. You sinned 77 times,
right.
77 times that, probably within 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
Okay. Your constant thought, you're sinning one right after the other.
And we're saved through, we're saved from that because...
The soul is saved through that. The body is still going to die.
And the soul saved by?
The Spirit.
And the Spirit is? You get the Spirit by...
Because you're walking with Christ.
Right.
It's that faith thing. That faith in Christ, that walk in Christ, faith in the body.
Right.
Oh, go ahead and perfect the body. It's going to die.
Right.
It's going to bury. It's going to go back into earth, and it's going to stink. It stinks while it's alive.
Right.
It stinks when it's in the grave.
Right. So let me give you a scenario. I'm going to turn this around a little bit and give you the other side of the argument from someone, because I've been there, so I can relate to this. So I fully acknowledge Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I've gotten that far, right, in faith. But yet, I'm guilty as a sinner. So I've been told to be aware of what sins I've committed during the day, and I might be as good enough as to write them down or keep them locked up in my memory really well, and go and confess to a priest.
You want to live in the confessional?
Well, actually, someone like me might be living in confessional. You have a good point, because to be 100% honest, I mean, where is the point at that, if you're going to be engaging in that action, where's the point that you're coming across 100% honest on every sin? You know what I'm saying? It's, I'm going to go in there, confess my sins, and now what? Forgiven, and that, and I mean, see, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't strengthen my faith. In a way, it just makes me think that, okay, I've sinned, now it's over with.
Okay, but
I'll say my Holy Marys.
Forgiven for what?
That's what I'm getting.
Wait a minute, what's forgiven?
Right.
The body, the soul, the spirit, what's forgiven?
I thought of, I thought of adulterous thoughts in my mind, and I'm married, that's my sin.
Who thought it? The body, the soul, the spirit. The body.
The body, right.
The body's going to die.
Right.
Okay, try to save that body. It's going to die.
Right, right.
That's my point. The body's going to die.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's good, and now you're going to die.
Right.
But I'm forgiven. The soul's forgiven, not the body.
Right.
If your future sins were not forgiven,
right,
would Christ not have to die again and again? And again, and again.
And then one more time.
Exactly. So, if Christ died for our sins, and this is where I'm going with that other side of the argument, because you just mentioned, and that's exactly where you just cut through the chase. If Jesus died for our sins, does our sins mean just a few sins? 10 sins? Or all of the sins?
Well, you said sins, not sin.
Oh, okay, we could go die for sin, which I take it not being plural means all of sin, right? Is that where you're going? Okay.
Or if it does just the opposite.
Just one sin.
One sin.
Okay.
Then where would you be?
Yeah.
have to die again,
right,
and again, and again.
So why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to
come back and die again?
I mean, Jesus would have to die for every sin, so he should be coming back now
for every person,
400 times or something?
For every person.
613 times?
Several million times, yeah. You know.
Right, just because I've been good, I only sinned once today.
Right.
Well, Wayne over here sinned 5 times. Jesus got died 6 times today, yeah. But it's not even lunchtime yet.
I mean, that's really why I got a problem with that. I mean, Jesus, who is a creator, came down here, suffered, was crucified, and you have the people that have a problem with some of the statement of go and sin no more, you know, containing a lot of the history of his suffering and how well they documented it, and yet
they're taking it too literal.
They're not understanding what they're not understanding is the entire book of Ruth.
Right.
Okay? The kinsman redeemer. They don't understand. Can Satan be saved? No, Satan has no kinsman redeemer. What if Satan repents? Repent all you want. You have no kinsman redeemer.
Right.
And until they learn that part of it, they're never going to get it.
Right. I mean, it really is that simple. Statement is a yes or no question. It really needs to be a yes or no question. Did Jesus die for all sins or not? Yes or no? I mean, there is no other way around it. Because either you're saying he died for all, some, or one, and that some doesn't make sense, so it's either yes or no. Did he die for all sins or not?
He had to have died for all sins because he was born for all of mankind. He's got the perfect life. He pays the price with his death.
Right.
Okay? And he can give it to his wife. All sins, whether the person is a believer or not, all sins are paid for.
Right.
Okay? The question now becomes, are you going to accept his forgiveness?
Right.
Okay? If you're going to accept his forgiveness, you have to have faith. And faith is not, I believe he was the Son of God. It's not a belief thing. It's the action part. It's the walking with.
Right.
That spirit is what walks with him.
Right.
The body doesn't walk with him.
Right.
Okay? The body runs. The body dives for the shade.
Right.
Okay? Give it a sin and it'll eat it up like chocolate, like a kid on Easter morning, man. It's gone.
And that statement is, Jesus died for all sins, yes, and that is exactly why in our paper we made this bold statement, which is totally getting to the point, that Jesus died for all sins, past, present, and future. Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, from this point on, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and we have faith, right?
Yes.
We continue to sin, those sins are forgiven.
They're not only forgiven, but that body is still going to pay the consequence for them. That reborn spirit, actually walking with Jesus, is not going to sin.
Right.
Okay? And it's that soul with spirit that's going to heaven. That soul with the body is still going to hell. That's the choice. I believe Jesus was the Son of God, but my soul is going to walk with that body.
Right.
Bye.
Right.
Okay? Choose. The soul has to choose.
Right.
Is it going to be with the body? Is it going to be with the spirit?
Right.
This poor spirit that is connected with that soul, that's connected with that spirit, that is dragging around that body that still sins, well, that's okay, because that body's going to die.
Right.
It's going away.
Let me throw it to another area. I want to try to cover all these different areas that I've encountered in questioning. Instead of talking to Christians of different denominations, we're talking to people that see something in Christianity, not really sure what's going on yet. This sin, whole talk of sin is just, might even seem unbearable or so negative that it ruins the peace and tranquility of their life. That's how sin seems when you talk about you're a sinner. It seems it's guilt complex. You know, people have a natural reaction to that. You know, don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me I'm messed up. I don't need to hear that type of attitude. We're not saying that, but there's that little thing in the back of my mind that even I experienced early in my faith. You get tired of hearing this constant, you're a sinner, you need to repent. And those people come to the point of, so what? I sin, my life is fine right now. Why should I repent, let alone even come to Jesus? What do you say to people like that?
The soul of that person is walking with the body.
Right.
There is no... It will pay the price, and it will sin.
Right.
It can try to be good. It's still gonna sin.
Right.
Okay. The other part to that statement, though, is the backward side, the Christian side, that keeps going, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. That's not the gospel message.
Right.
The gospel message is good news.
Right.
Okay? With your sins, there is a way of salvation.
Right.
It's not you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner.
Right.
It's good news.
Right.
Okay? Have you ever stolen the sucker? Forget. They get off on all these tangent sins. Yeah. One sin, that's the other part. You keep sinning, sinning, and sinning. Well, I'll tell you right now, the first sin is the one that killed you.
Right.
Okay? You can go and sin no more. You sin once, you're dead. Get over it.
Right.
Okay? That's just as good a statement from the other side.
Right.
You know, do you admit you've ever done one thing wrong? You're going to hell.
Right.
Well, let's not even go, you're going to hell. Let's try this one. You're going to die.
Right.
Okay. Now, after your death, where do you want to go? Soul, body, hell. Soul, spirit, up.
Right.
Okay. Body's dying.
Right.
Body's dying, and you can try to resurrect that body. You can try to do what you want, but that body's going to die.
Right.
That earth, that body's going to go back into the earth.
Right.
That earth is going to be destroyed.
Right.
So be it.
Yeah, the sinning thing is not meant to be. I've heard it. It's out there. This condemnation. Sinner, sinner, repent. I mean, it's actually its own. I mean, you have one side of it going, you need to confess, and you got the other side constantly telling you're a sinner. I mean, that is not, and I agree, the gospel message.
It's good news.
It's good news that there is a solution to this madness, this repetitive circle. And that solution was a paid price by the Creator, which is a totally act of love. I mean, I thought about this. He didn't really have to come down here and have himself tortured the way he did.
He could have started all over.
Yeah, he really could, you know. I mean, he didn't have to go through all that, but he did. And that kind of puts me in a natural state of appreciation and reflection that he paid that price. And thank God there's a way out.
Well, you know, the funny part of that is, too, you look at the... You don't want to go through the Catholic thing of having to repent all the time.
Right.
You never had to.
Right.
You don't want to follow all the laws that the Jews have set up, all 613 of them.
Right.
Well, you can use the 316, for God so loved the world. You don't have to go through that. You look at the Muslims. You must follow the Quran. And if you follow the Quran, even Muhammad said, I'm going to hell. I have no other way.
Right.
He's right. He's absolutely right. He has no other way. There is only one way. Buddhism. You take whatever you want. There's no solution for the sin problem.
Right.
Okay? My burdens are light. You come to here, you realize what it is, and you and me, the you being you,
right.
And the me being the Creator of the universe, let's start over from that Adam and Eve. You had a choice of listen to me or Satan. You listen to Satan.
Right.
Okay, you made a mistake. Let's start right there, and let's start walking together through this problem.
Right.
We did the flat tire thing. You have a flat tire. I have the ability to go change the flat tire. Or
right.
I can turn around, dear God, please fix the flat tire.
Right.
Now, if you take the problem there, you walk together, you go through it. Maybe it's you doing it. Maybe you get some help. Maybe you're $5 short for buying the tire. Everything works together. You walk through the problem.
Right.
The tire gets fixed. You move on down the road. God is looking to walk with you.
Right.
God's not telling you, I'm never going to talk to you.
Right.
Okay? So be it. Go on your life. And if you can figure out the puzzle, you get to go to heaven.
Right.
Woo-hoo. If you don't figure out the puzzle, you're going to hell. If you don't, you know, where's this game coming from? It's not that hard. Okay, it's just a walking with, it's right back to the Garden of Eden, and it's fixing the problem right there from the Garden of Eden enough.
Right. A couple more, and this is actually, I want to just kind of spread out a little bit and cover a couple areas that I know our paper addresses the general areas, but there's some little finer points that I want to address too. You come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. In your experience, what happens at that point? What is your life like to give our listeners an idea, for those that haven't walked with the Lord, of what happens at this point? Because those looking from the outside will go, this guy is still going to do bad things and believe this baloney that he's forgiven and he's still walking in shame or in bad works. But as Christians, all of us here, you can share some of our experience. What happens when you accept Jesus in your life and you walk with him? What's your personal experience with it?
Mine was, when I first got to it, I was in a state of hopelessness. And I was in problems that I could not handle.
Right.
I always had the ability to do anything I wanted.
Right.
And it was out of my hands. I had no control over it. That next day, after coming to Jesus, they weren't my problems. They were his. Okay? The possible were my problems. The impossible, that was easy. They were his.
How did you know they were his?
Because I couldn't do them. And I didn't care.
What did you feel like?
They weren't my problems.
So it was lifted. I mean, noticeably lifted.
They were gone. Okay. Because I live or I die, and it's got nothing to do with me. It was no longer my responsibility to handle the impossible.
Right.
Okay? I come to God. I was here. It was his responsibility now. I got baptized symbolically that day.
Right.
I died to myself. I died to my ways.
Right.
Okay? From now on, I'm walking with his ways, and we're going to see what happens.
Right. How did you know that you were walking with God, though? This is where people...
I didn't care. I didn't care about the rest of it.
Right. But what do you mean? I'm trying to delve deeper into this, because I shared that experience. But I'm trying to give people something to relate to that maybe haven't had this experience, because we're trying to explain a spiritual experience through physical words, and it's hard to do. But when it was lifted, I mean, what was it about that changed so dramatically from the day before when the day that you weren't with Jesus to the day after you accepted him in your life? I mean, what exactly, how can you describe it?
I'm not sure you can, because what lifted was who's was responsible for the problem.
Right.
Who was going to make the solution work.
Right.
Okay? Like I said, you could come up to me and you could kill me, but it was no longer my job to defend myself.
Right.
Okay? This impossible thing, the car payment, it's got to be made or you're going to take away the car. I'm going to work.
Right.
See, this is kind of the funny thing. I'm going to try. I'm going to work.
Right.
I'm going to collect money. I'm not going to overspend. I'm going to be responsible. Those are the things that I can control. But the circumstances as they come up, they're not my control. Okay? The car payment comes too quick. I lose the car. So be it.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm going to walk in his will.
Right.
He wants me to have a car. We'll have a car.
Right.
He doesn't want me to have a car. I won't. Okay, it's not my job to do those things anymore.
Right, right.
Okay? You do the best you can, but that's it. It goes from your responsibilities to walking with him. You keep doing what you can do, but you're walking with him. You're asking him to provide.
Right.
That's I don't know if you can say it. That's the way it is, though.
I want to ask you some quick questions. You give me a quick answer. I want to cover some areas. Pretend I'm these different personalities thinking different ways, and I'm going to fire these questions out at you. I don't believe in sin. That's my statement. I don't believe in sin. What do you say?
You believe in death?
Well, obviously, because everyone dies.
Okay. Sin and death go together. Right and wrong. Do you believe in right and wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Wrong is sin.
But I'll try to do as much right as possible. So why do I need to believe in sin? By the way, listeners, I'm just taking on the personifications of different people that I've run into that have different questions. So I'm not actually saying this. I'm just remembering these statements that were thrown at me before.
If honestly, to me, if you don't believe in sin, You don't believe in wrong.
Right.
You don't believe that you have a need. Have a good life.
Okay.
Not my problem.
So, you know, I don't believe in sin. I'm going to do the right thing and be a moral person. What do you say about that?
In whose eyes? You're offending me by your comments right there. You're sinning against me right there. Now, whether I care about, you know, that sin or not,
right,
is a whole other story. The sin against me, that's not even a sin.
Right.
Okay? But you, if you don't know you're sick, I can't help you.
Right.
You don't know you've done something wrong. If you're totally happy with your life,
right,
and you're willing to die and accept the consequences,
right,
of that judgment right there. Because here's the thing. If there is a God, and there is no sin, God has said, earth is going away.
Right.
God has said, he's creating a heaven.
Right.
Okay? The earth is flying off into hell.
Right.
For those people who didn't follow him. Okay? Heaven is for those sinners who followed Jesus.
Right.
But you're that perfect person. My question to you is, where are you going to live?
Right.
You're not getting into heaven. Okay? You're perfect, so you don't deserve hell, but there's no place left for you to live. This is that old Catholic question that always cracks me up. Mary had no sins.
Right.
Where is she going to live?
Right.
Okay. She's going to live in heaven. Ah. No perfect people get to heaven.
Okay.
Heaven is for those sinners who have come to Christ. That's what heaven's made for.
Right.
Okay. Mary's perfect. There's no place for her to go. Sorry.
I hear you. So,
sheep, goats, and Mary. Goats go to hell, sheep go to heaven, and I have no idea where Mary, but you know what?
Yeah.
It said Mary had a little lamb.
Right.
That little lamb took all the sinners to heaven.
Right.
That followed him.
Right.
But the Catholics have the little lamb following Mary. Where's Mary going?
Right. Well, I mean, if Mary could save me, I mean, why did the Creator have to come down here and suffer? Just sacrifice Mary. If that was good enough in God's eyes.
Why'd Mary
but it
die?
Wasn't.
Why'd Mary die?
Did she die?
You only die if you sin.
Right, right.
But, you know, well, that's the other part, too, is because there are other people like that, too. There's Enoch, there's Elijah, and there's Mary.
Right.
Okay? Enoch and Elijah come back as the two witnesses and die.
Right.
That leaves Mary. Where are you going to live, Mary?
I don't want to get too far off because there's hundreds of questions. And I don't want to argue the atheist side because, I mean, at least if someone's clicked onto our website and is listening to this podcast, I would think they've come as far as just open their ears and eyes and be honest with themselves enough to not have this, you know, is there a God question? Because that's, I mean, that one day we'll deal with it. But, I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's not fair to everyone else that's come over that obstacle. These other questions that I have is, I'm a person who's accepted, I'm going to take this role on it. I'm a person that accepted Christ, and I fully believe what I've been told, that I need to confess my sins, and I'm older, and I'm facing death, I'm not doing well, and I don't confess my sins, or should I confess my sins to a priest? What would you say to that? I'm worried that I'm not going to get into heaven. I have faith in Christ, but I have these sins that I haven't gotten off my chest. Can I tell any man? Can I tell God himself? Or do I need to call a priest right away?
If you're still wrestling with getting your sins forgiven, you probably need to go back and go through the whole question again. Your sins were either forgiven or they weren't.
Right.
You've either spent your life, now that you're getting ready to die, you've either spent your life walking with Jesus,
right,
or walking with the body.
Right. Right.
Right now, as you're getting ready to die, you're either trusting Jesus for what he already did,
right,
or you're not.
Right.
You might be looking for the formula, But the formula is not going to save you. You're either trusting or you're not.
Right.
The older you get, the closer to death you get, I think the harder it is.
Right.
Okay? It's better to be young and stupid and totally crushed.
Right.
Because you know you have too long to go.
Right.
Okay? You have to walk with it.
Right. In your opinion, I'll ask a question here. Do you need to confess your sins to anyone?
My sins were forgiven all at one time.
Why does it, if you feel guilty, you need to get it off your chest?
I guess I could go bother anybody I want. I could talk to my dog. Okay?
Will that save you?
Yeah. My
sins are forgiven.
I mean, like, you know, again, you talk to a priest, will that save you?
Like I said, that is a crucial, you know, that's another, I like when you interject things like that, because it makes me think, is that the point of it? That you're in denial, that you're saved for real, and you're afraid that you're going to be unsaved? Because that's the statement that's made, is that you accept Jesus Christ in your life. You repent, you go into the Spirit, and then if you don't get this off your chest, you're being pushed away from Jesus every time you sin, so you're being pushed out of salvation? I mean, that's what it is, correct? I mean,
that's walking, see, all that, I sin. What's sin? The body's sin.
Right.
The body's dying.
Right.
Okay? Goodbye, body.
Right.
Okay? You ask me, I feel really bad. I feel really bad that my body did something again.
Right.
Okay? And it's going to die for it.
Right.
And you know what? I'll help kill that body.
Right.
Okay? Trouble is I'm not there no more.
Right.
That you know, those are old questions.
Right.
Okay? Too long. I've been walking too long.
So, going back to that, though, I mean, is it, what purpose does it serve? And, I mean, now we're speaking out of the church as just men sitting here talking. What purpose does that serve?
To confess your sins again?
Yeah.
What purpose does it serve? None.
Does it make you feel better?
I never even think about it. Never even think about it anymore.
And that's why, I mean, a lot of people would have a problem with that. They're just saying you're not being responsible for your actions and you're not this and that.
Well, the question is, can a priest really forgive your sins?
That's going into a doctrinal area that they,
well,
there are people that believe it.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't believe it.
But,
who's sin? The body.
Okay.
So the priest can forgive the body and the body will live? No, the body's going to die.
Well, the fact is, when the Lord said, I am the way and the only way, that eliminates all priests.
Yeah.
And when he's the way for what? Feareth who can kill the body and the soul.
Right.
The body and the soul fear him. That's going to hell. Notice he doesn't say, fear thou who can kill the body and the spirit.
Right.
He who has the spirit, he who has the Lord, there is no remorse.
Right.
Can the gates of hell hold the spirit back? No.
Right.
It can hold a body back. Body and soul, those gates keep clanking.
Right.
Okay? The body and soul that the priest forgave clank right on those bars.
Right.
It's only the spirit that's going to get through.
Right.
Soul and spirit goes up. Body, forgiven body by the priest. Clank, clank, clank. It ain't getting out.
Right.
Bars are physical. The body's physical. It's not getting out.
Right.
But I have the keys. The keys are spiritual. They're not physical.
Right. Yeah, well, who went through the gates of hell? Peter or Jesus? I don't think Peter did. I'm sorry.
If he did. But not as the body.
Okay.
Because the body can't get through.
Right.
Okay.
Jesus
didn't go through the gates while he was in the body form, did he?
Right.
He went through after death in the spiritual form.
Right.
The body still clanks. Jesus went through in spirit. He came out in spirit.
Right.
The spirit cannot be held.
Right.
That body's it's not getting through.
Right.
Physical is stopped. The spiritual is not.
That's an apocryphal word. I don't know why it's not in the Bible, but there's reasons. I've read them before, but that is, what we're talking about, the gates of hell, Jesus walking through, is an apocryphal book, but there's a lot of references to it with Peter getting the keys. I find that interesting, you know. Move on from that point. In confession of sins, repentance, what's the two terms?
Confession of sins?
And repentance.
Confession of sins. The church world today tells you to confess the individual sin.
Okay.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
Okay.
Okay. You want a list? Get a tape recorder, get some paper, get some lunch. We're going to be here a while.
Right.
Okay. Let me make it easy for you. I'm a sinner.
Right.
The body of the sinner is going to die.
Right.
Okay. That's confession of sin to me. You want to confess each and individual one? It was good enough for me to confess my sins and get them forgiven, past, present, future.
Right.
I don't need to drive. A girl walks down the street, I don't have to take a railroad spike and drive it in Jesus' head again.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So my dog eats my slipper, I don't have to take another one and drive it in Jesus' foot.
Right.
Okay? He died. Have you seen the movie? The Passion?
Yeah.
That's enough. I looked at that movie, I saw what they did to him.
Right.
You know what? That's
probably worse. Actually, it's probably worse than what that movie depicted.
Oh, yeah. But that's enough. That you know, I don't need Jesus to be hit one more time. I saw what was in that movie.
Right.
That's enough pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? The sucker I stole, that paid for that.
Right.
I have no question that if I stole the sucker and my dad did to me what they did to Jesus,
right,
that sin would be paid for. I have no problems with that.
And that's the type of life that I think you're capping into right here with this paper. Is that's really the mindset you're placed in. Not this, I have a license to do whatever I want in this fantasy land, thinking that all my sins are forgiven, whoopee. Is actually recognizing the suffering that Jesus went through and the price he paid, and having a fair amount of respect and responsibility, knowing that as you walk with him, trying your utmost best to knock out these other bodily sins the best you can, but knowing that you're capable of doing works in the Spirit. Going from the body, the world, walking with him and doing the works of the Spirit, which can be quite magnificent,
the true good works are anyway.
Exactly. It's a total flip side of life.
Because that's hitting that good works part. Do you think the body can do any good works?
Right.
Can't do a thing.
Right.
Okay. The best the body can do is not sin.
Right.
Okay, if the body doesn't sin today,
right,
was that good?
Right.
No, that's what it should have done.
Right.
Because tomorrow when it sins, it ruined every good day it had before that.
Right.
That one sin. So what can the body do for a good work? Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. All the good works are done what the Spirit has provided us.
Right. So repentance. Tell me quickly about repentance.
Repentance is the flood. The flood, you die. You die to your self-way.
Wait, back up one point. What do you mean by flood? You're talking about baptism.
I'm talking about the flood.
Okay.
The flood and baptism are the same thing. The world comes to the flood. The world comes to baptism. What happens? It dies. The world dies. You die to yourself in the baptism.
I get you.
You come up. Body, soul, spirit. The soul and body are a team. Going into the water, the soul and the spirit are the team coming out of the water.
I got you.
Okay? You can try to revive the body from that drowning.
Right.
Okay, but then you go back to that life and there's still no way up. It's never body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
It's spirit and soul, or it's soul and body.
Right.
Okay? It's not all three at one time.
Gotcha.
The body is never going to be perfected. There's no sin in heaven. How is the body going to get there?
Right.
Why is the earth destroyed? It's sin.
Right.
Okay? The body's never going to get there.
Right.
You walk with the spirit, you walk with the body. You got to choose.
Right.
Okay? I believe in Jesus, and I'm never talking to him again because I'm saved. Oh, that's totally the body.
Right.
Okay? You're totally worshiping after the body.
Right.
With a little kicker on the side.
Right.
A little get-out-of-jail card.
Right.
That's what the world is seeing.
Right.
No, the body's dead.
Right.
The body will take the punishment for its sins.
Right.
The body's going to die.
Right.
Okay? See, I have no trouble. The body's going to die. I'm not...
Where does the act of repentance happen in that scenario, though?
In the coming to Jesus. The giving up, it's the blood, the baptism. It's the point where you give up.
So all the actions of realizing, studying, talking, whatever your personal experience is to get you to the point of where you're standing in front of the baptism, ready to have it, ready to be baptized.
Whether it's baptized or whether it's just the point, baptism is symbolic.
Okay.
It's the point where you stop trying to do it your way.
Right.
And the point where you realize, this doesn't work, it's His way.
Right.
Dear Lord, where do you want me?
Right.
Dear Lord, I want a car. Dear Lord, where do we go?
Right.
Okay, it's a back and forth. God is not a genie list. Or you right. can treat Him as a genie list because you're serving, trying to serve the body.
Right.
And the body's going to hell.
Right.
Once you start looking for His will, you start talking in a spiritual sense.
Right.
Once you go, dear God, please give me, you're looking back in the body sense.
If you have the ability, though, so the act of, all that leading of the baptism is the act of repentance. That's repentance. Is there a way of summing up the word repentance quickly in our experience? Coming to the Lord, is that what
coming to the Lord and then walking with.
Okay.
Walking with the body is not repentance. Walking with the Lord is repentance.
And confession of sins, is that repentance?
That's where it can take place.
Okay.
Confession of, I'm a sinner,
yeah.
Not confession of, I stole my sister's sucker.
Two times in the last 5 days.
Right. Or whatever. It doesn't matter.
So,
you know what? If you weren't forgiven for your sin, if you got to be forgiven for your sin again.
Right.
Okay? If you stole the sucker and you got forgiven for your sucker.
Right.
Okay? He either forgave you for you. See, you're asking Jesus to come. He already took away the sins of the world.
Right.
He already did that. You're asking Him to join into that process where the sins of the world are gone.
Right.
It's not a one thing at a time.
Right.
He didn't come to take away the stealing of the sucker. He came to take away the sins of the world. Your call to Jesus is, yes, will you take me in because you took away the sins of the world? When I come to Jesus, I'm accepting the fact that He took Wayne's sins away from him.
Right.
I'm accepting the fact that He took your sins away from the world.
Right.
I'm the guy that I hate. I'm accepting right there that He took away his sins.
Right.
Now it's just a question of who chooses and who does it.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, I like that.
It's not just my sin.
Yeah.
Okay. To the listener here who has no sin, Jesus took away your sins.
Right.
I accepted that part right there.
Right.
Whether you accept Jesus or not, your sins are already paid for.
Right.
It's already done.
Right. We touched on baptism, and there was a statement there that I just want to touch quickly on. Not everyone in the world that may be listening to this has the access to a person that will perform baptism. But if you have it at your disposal, should you be baptized?
If you can understand the symbolic message, you should do it.
Right.
Okay? But better than that, you should act out the meaning. The meaning is following Christ with a spiritual walk.
Right.
Okay? Not trying to perfect the body. It's like, quit trying to prove this or that.
Right.
And start looking, it's like when you read the Bible. Look at what it says.
Right.
What is it, what is being said here? Okay? Not at, there are 15 A's in the first verse. There are 19 S's in the first verse.
Right.
Okay? You're not looking at that here. It's not a textbook.
Right.
Okay? It's like, would you talk to your wife in that fashion?
Right.
like a robot going through the thing, she'll hit you in the head.
Right.
Okay? And then I'll help her. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. You talk as a person.
Yeah. But, you know,
if you talk as body,
right,
the body's going to die.
Right.
If you talk from the soul, okay, what does this idea? You have a body. You lose an arm.
Right.
Are you still you? See, that's the soul that's in you.
Right.
That arm's the body. It's gone. The arm died. The body will die.
Right.
It's a real relationship.
But if baptism is an act of faith to get to that point of going through baptism, correct? If you have, if you're like a, not a baby, but you have memory, or you're at a point where you make the decision to go to get baptized, that is a very strong act of faith, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's something you should do.
Yeah.
Okay? Even if you're doing all the rest symbolically and stuff, you should still go through it to experience.
Right.
Just the act of doing it.
Right.
It's that little test that lets you know that you do understand what's going on.
Right. Right. Yeah. I want to try to wrap this up, but I want to cover another area of our paper, because I think we need to explain it. We have a question and answer area in our paper. And I'm sure this, I've heard from two other different people that this struck them against the grain. But there was a purpose behind it that's true. And we could just expound on it a little bit. If you rob a bank, will you go to heaven? I'm a robber.
Yes, if you have Jesus, the soul and the spirit would go to heaven. If you're walking with the body who robbed the bank, if he's united with that soul, he's going to hell.
Right.
The body's going to pay the price. It's going to die.
Right.
But if the soul is united with the spirit and Jesus, he's going to heaven. If he's not, the body and the soul is going to hell.
Right. So let's switch sides to give clarification. You're the robber. I'm the person you were just robbed. I'm mad at that statement. You got away with it, you never went to jail, and you're coming to me, I mean, you, let's say I do know this, probably never, you know, a real situation, you never know this. You're forgiven, you're going to heaven, you robbed me. How dare you?
The soul is, the spirit is, you can do what you want to the body, you can put it in prison.
You should pay, you know, as a person being robbed, I'm saying you should pay. What do you say about that?
The body should pay. The body deserves to pay. Do what you need to do to the body.
Okay.
The soul and the spirit are still going to heaven, and the body is yours. Do what you want.
But I'm really mad, and I don't think you should be let into heaven.
The body sinned against you. The spirit did not. Do what you want to the body.
I got you.
It's not your choice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it as a man, you know, as a human aspect. I'm being,
as a man,
absorbed in self as being the victim, and I want justice. I want God to come down here and
as a man,
straighten you out.
You're looking at the body.
Right.
As a creature of God, you're looking at the spirit.
Right.
So this mad storekeeper is mad at the body.
Right.
God's just. Do what you need to do to the body.
Right.
The body is yours. The soul and spirit are mine.
And I would say, too, as a victim that's robbed, it's money, and I'm out of this world if I'm a Christian, right? And that's really faith in another nutshell. I've been placed in that situation where I've been done wrong, and it came back down to the truth is, I was robbed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The stuff stolen from me, I didn't say this to anyone else because you don't want to put a target on you. Like, here, rob me all the time, please, because I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to say that. But I had to get to the point inside, and this is what walking with Christ, these are examples that I have of so many times where it's totally not me and anything I ever would have done in my life ever bringing me to this point. But I had to admit, those items stolen from me rot with this earth. I'm not staying here. Who cares? I mean, my life isn't a bunch of possessions. Even though I would have liked to use those things, and I felt like I worked hard to get those things that were stolen, and I feel a little mad about it. I came to the point of peace, knowing in God's word what Christ said, I'm not of this world. You're not, your worldly possessions are not coming with you, right? That yeah. statement he makes to the rich man. You know, it's that thing of, if you have that mentality, how will you get into heaven? Because you're so grounded in this world. The rich man is harder to, what was the statement he made? A rich man is harder to get into heaven as a camel going through an, you know,
eye of the needle.
Eye of the needle, right, that's it. So that's just my little experience with it. So you,
I've got a different little thing on that. You turn around and I have a pencil. You rob me of my pencil.
Okay?
That's a worldly possession. You rob me of my pencil. Okay? If God needs me to have a pencil, we'll find a way to get another one.
Right.
If God does, maybe I don't need a pencil anymore.
Right.
Lo and behold, I have a computer now.
Right.
I have pink fonts. I can do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Doesn't matter. I'll have what I need, or I'll have the ability to get what I need,
right.
or I won't need them, or I'm going to die tomorrow, and I can go golfing for the rest of the day.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He's got, it's his plan.
Right.
Walk through it. The body stuff is the body stuff.
Right.
I only need what the body needs while I have the body.
Right.
I'm serving in the spirit. I'm serving, my soul and spirit are together. Whatever the body needs to do that I need, he'll provide. Or it won't do it.
Right. And I could, before I move on to the next final example of this, I hear a statement, you know, people listening, John, do unto others as you would have do unto them, right? That's a Christian principle. My little point why I wanted to play that role is, and this is faith too, easier said than done, because even, in, you know, I remember one police friend of mine that always had this point, which is very true, because it's reality of life, being honest. You can sit there not being robbed and say that to me, but then once you're the victim,
once you're the victim,
it's a whole different story. I mean, now you're emotionally involved, you're invested into it, and this is what, you know, it's hard in these are times of faith, that once you're the victim, let's see what you say then. And I'm going to leave it at that until we go to the next one, because this really rubbed people the wrong way, but we're nicely leading up to it. And that one is... If you're a murderer, are you getting into heaven?
It's the same thing. If you kill, according to God's word, if you kill man, you're going to pay the price and die. So, the soul and the body is going to die. If that soul has joined itself with the spirit, it's going to go to heaven. Yes, if you have Jesus, you're going to heaven. No, you're going to hell if you don't have Jesus.
And people would have a problem with that, have been victims or murder. What do you have to say about that? I mean,
you have the body. Do what you want with it.
Okay. Right.
The body sinned.
So how does it
She committed that lady. Back to the story. That lady committed adultery.
Right.
Okay. By the law, you can turn around and you can kill that body.
Right.
But by her actions, she has joined herself to heaven. So let's say those people turn around and killed her.
Right.
But first, Jesus has this little story with her, and she trusts Jesus.
Right.
Now the people come up, well, let's say the next day. The next day the people find her, and they stone and they kill her.
Right.
Fine. She committed adultery. They killed the body. But it's too late. The soul has joined itself with the spirit, and it's on its way to heaven.
Right.
The body paid the price.
Right.
Okay? It died.
Right.
The soul did its job in that it picked to go with the spiritual way and went to heaven.
Right.
Fine. You have the dead, dying, stinking body.
Right.
Good for you.
Right.
By the way, like Jesus said, your body is stinking and your body's going to die too.
Right. So, wrapping it up, I mean, the bottom line is to run to Jesus Christ, accept him with all your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins, correct?
And walk with him.
Walk with him. You know, let me read something from Romans chapter 5, 8 through 11. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Quick comment on that?
The life they're talking about that we're saved by his life is the spiritual life. It's the resurrected body.
Right.
His life before the cross didn't save you. Didn't save you at all. His teachings, be good, feed the poor, all of this stuff, none of that saved you.
Right.
That's all the body. The life of Jesus is the life he now has, is that resurrected body.
Right.
The body has joined with the spirit and goes up.
Right.
Okay. The reason his body doesn't die, because his body goes up as well, because that body has no sin.
Right.
Okay. My body, you kill it, you can dig it up next year. It'll still be there.
Yeah.
Jesus' body has no sin. It goes straight up.
Well, and it would, let's end it with our message that we have in this paper at the bottom. And we say the message of Jesus Christ and Christianity, or the good news of the Gospels, is this. One, God is not against you. Two, God sent his Son into the world to pay for all of yours and mine sins. And three, as if God was speaking here, this is the best way, you know, we paraphrase it in the paper. If God had something to say to us, it would be this. You're wrong. I love you. I died and paid for your sins. My burdens are light. Follow me. And we end our paper, and I got to say it again because it's the most important chapter in the Bible with faith, is John 3:16 through 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. I'll end it there, my comments. Any last comments that you have?
The only last comment I have is Jesus came in the world to take care of the sin that came in the world all the way back with Adam and Eve.
Right.
Everybody has sinned, and they've sinned right from that point. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was a choice. The choice was God said something, Satan said something. Which one is man going to believe?
Right.
That choice is here for you today. You hear all the arguments out there in the world. You hear what God has said here through his Bible. It's the same choice of Adam and Eve. It's your choice.
Right.
You say you've never sinned. Why is it fair for Adam? This is your choice here. This is your Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden story.
Right.
This is your choice. It's right here today.
Right.
You got to choose. Body, soul, soul, spirit.
Right.
It's right here, one way or the other.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is a good podcast. Thank you for being with us. Again, we've covered a lot of areas. I know I've asked different questions from what I've heard over the years, and same thing with Pat and Wayne, and if you have any more questions, there's an email box on our website, www.BibleTruthOnline.com. Feel free to ask us any questions. It might take us a little while, busy in life, working full-time, but we will answer them, and feel free to ask us anything. Again, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, Pat and Wayne.
Have a good night.
All right, and we'll see you again. Good night.